Okay. So hi, I am Ephraim. I've been working on GNU Geeks for about 8 years now. So supporting the PS ABIs with Geeks. So the PS ABIs are the, say, hey, it's been 20-ish years since we first got x86-64. It'd be nice if we compiled for something a little newer. So the PS ABIs are a nice way to go and, let's see if I can see both screens, to go and see, to support both the older machines and the newer machines at the same time. So this is the output that I got from my computer running --help on ld.so. So as you can see, my machine supports x86, 64, v3, and v2, and of course the original, just regular x86, 64. So it's, you know, how we actually go and figure out what is supported and what isn't. So something that I wasn't able to find looking through everything is, where are these directories? I know the libraries go in /lib, and not really clear where the alternate ones go. So I did what any normal person would do. I went to my local checkout of glibc, and I searched for glibc hardware caps. So from the test suite, we got $L, glibc hardware caps, our little string, and our library. And we also got that supported on three architectures. So we can see that x86-64 isn't the only one that is looking for faster libraries. So that gives us on x86-64 these four paths where ld.so will actually search for libraries that are supported, more or less. So we have our /lib and then the two that are after it. For the sake of completeness, we also have for PowerPC 64 little endian, we have Power 9 and Power 10, and for S390, we have these other ones. And I've never seen an S390 machine, I just assume that they exist. So that works well on a regular distribution where, you know, all of the libraries go into /lib or /user/lib. But in Geeks, everything has its own path that everything gets installed into. And, you know, fancy word at the top there is directed acyclic graph. So, you know, individually I know what all of those words mean, but in general it's, you know, like the arrows have. I'm trying to remember if this one goes up or goes down, depending on which part of the stack you're working on. Sometimes we end up with arrows in different directions. So I'm assuming we're going down on this one. So for expat, depends directly on getText_minimal, which is different than our regular getText, which would have other inputs in it. And, you know, just like, you know, for this case, so the acyclic part is what it sounds like. There's no circles, there's no repetitions. You know, once you build the package, that's it. It goes into its designated folder and nothing else gets installed into there. So before, when we had our library outputs, Geeks doesn't have a /lib folder and it doesn't have these other folders either. So we still need to convince glibc to actually look for all of these places so that we can find the libraries. So, it's before that one. The other thing is that reading through the bits, it turns out that we're not just looking for, not just checking all of these directories, we're looking specifically in /lib, and then if your hardware supports it, we will also check the other library locations. So using, you know, take your favorite library, readline, you'd have lib /lib/readline.so, And you could have it also in your glibc hardware caps directory. But with Geeks, the first one is going to be in its full path, /gnu/store/big hash. And the other ones will be in other paths. So while you would have libraries in the other paths also, they don't actually end up in the same spot. And it goes and says, okay, here's my regular readline library. I'm going to search for the glibc hardware cap along the same path. It's not going to find anything even though you've already built them. So question that I guess keeps on coming up when I was looking at this is it worth it? Does this actually make a difference when you're running the programs? How much difference do you really get from having optimized libraries for your computer? And answer a little bit is, does it matter? I mean, the options are there. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't going to do something. And other part is, people want it, users want it. It might make a difference. So whether or not it matters, we're still doing it. And to some extent, wonder, is it something like I always read that as fun roll loops, where it's does unrolling the loops actually matter? Is it how much benefit are you getting from it? So yeah. So I got cut off a little bit. One of the programs that we were experimenting with was the new NCDU written in Zig. And so up here I have a transcribed output from Diffuscope. I actually went and compared the two binaries. Zig inherits the optimizations from the underlying LLVM. And so I compared NCDU built against standard x86-64 and one built for x86-64 v3, which would run on my desktop. And other than seeing that more than 99% of the code was the same, this part was actually the part that had the largest amount of difference in the generated assembly. And so I don't know if v0 upper is faster than other options here, but I also notice that it ends up with the same number of instructions. So it's for a lot of this, we really are getting into very minimal benefits in here. But anyway, like we said, we're doing it anyway. The options are there. We're not going to take no for an answer. Oh, good, that didn't get cut off at the bottom. So one of the libraries that we've already looked at and said this one actually benefits is GSL, which is one of the math libraries. So what you're looking at here is scheme code. This is the actual, this inherits from the actual package definition for GSL. An actual one has, you see this one's missing a version string. It doesn't have the source location. It's missing a couple things where it's just inherited. But basically, package definition defines the name and version. It has the source where to get it. It says what kind of build system to use, if there are any arguments. In the case of GSL, mostly we skip a bunch of tests, and then some other metadata that goes with it, homepage, synopsis, description, license. So for this one, we go and basically say, okay, so we're going to inherit from GSL, I'm going to change the name so that we append the PSABI to it so we can actually keep them separate. The make flags we're going to actually pass to C flags and CXX flags that we're building for this specific PSABI. We add the, tell it to use the library dir of output is our is the output. It's the per package directory where where this library would get installed to. So instead of installing it to output/lib, we're going to add glibc hardware caps /psabi, which is the directory we saw before. And then after the installation, we're going to delete a couple of extra bits that we don't need. We don't need the binary because we're just using the original GSL binary and the headers in include and anything in the share directory and the package config. We're just deleting all of that. And in the properties, we're going to hide it from the CLI so that way people can't just go and install this one on its own. And we're going to mark it as not tunable because we don't want to say, hey, build this specific library for this specific sub-architecture, but actually tune it for my machine, because that's not going to help anybody. So then when we go and we have the actual library, similar to before, we go and we say, okay, go ahead and run through everything like normal using all of the normal package arguments and build arguments and everything. And then at the end, after install, we're just going to, as you see here, copy the actual libraries into their location. Because we can't go and say, here's regular GSL and install the other libraries into its folder. We say, we've built a new one, and we're going to copy the our optimized libraries in. So then, same thing for PowerPC. I just didn't put it there. So in the end, which one is this? This is the regular one. This is the, just a generic one. I shortened some of the directories so that it would fit. So we have the, at the top, the full path, the output for GS. Okay, this was. No, this is the everything together. We have the full path of the library, of the output for GSL with all of the hardware capability, all the optimized libraries. You see we have the one set of binaries, we have the headers. I've collapsed the libdir so that it doesn't take up all the space. And then inside the libdir, we actually have at the bottom there, we have the libgsl for just regular, and then v2, v3, and v4 I closed so that it would all fit. And we have just the one package config, and through all the testing that I had on various machines, it would go and using this as an input for everything else, it would go and link against the regular libgsl. And then at runtime, it would go and actually use the optimized library, depending on which machine it was running on. So Geeks being a functional package manager, we end up with functions for things. So here, this one was actually from some of the bioinformatics programs that I was working on. We have so here the idea was PGGB. One of the common ways that it was distributed is as a Docker image. So instead of just compiling everything for the for baseline or for saying, hey, we've made 500 different images based on what your actual machine you're running on is, we said, okay, we have a list of, in this case, 5 libraries. Go ahead and actually replace all of their occurrences in the graph with these ones. And then when you go to run it, you get all of the benefits of using the faster libraries. So, I guess back to the, is it worth it? So this one I hadn't really planned on getting into so much. This one was a blog post from last month. Somebody had gone and rebuilt parts of Arch Linux with for x86-64 v3, and they have, so the claim was that it was 10% performance improvement. So the other part that's here that I guess not quite cut off is that The rebuilt one on V3 was also built with O3 flag versus the O2 flag that Arch Linux uses. And then they just went through a couple of programs to see, you know, is it actually faster? What type of speed benefit can you get? So negative times are faster, positive times are slower. So in this case, it was, you know, compressing the kernel was faster, decompressing was slower. You know, FLAC was faster in all cases. Gawk was, you know, toss up. Gzip was slightly faster, but you know, that might just be O3. LZ4 was slower. Python was slower. R was the same. Vorbis was faster. And you know, XZ, you know, basically the same. Fine decompression was faster. That in general, you know, you're still left with a couple of packages here and there actually benefit from having faster libraries. It's not going to keep people from saying, I want everything to be compiled faster. And go back to the fun roll loops. And you know, you have to eke out that extra little bit of speed. But you know, it's, you know, yes, it's a, you know, from the distro side, some of it becomes a, how much time do I want to spend actually, I guess maybe not specifically supporting the different options, because you know, I just send it through and it gets built and it's done, but how much time do I want to spend building four copies of everything so that I can mush them all together and you know, expand the size of the final library? What did I have over here that I... No, I thought I had a thing right there. So I guess the other part that we had with this was that, you know, this one, you know, this assumes that, I mean, first of all, this works well for GSL. You know, I could go and change it from, you know, GSL HWABI is the name of the function to make it more general and then start passing it other, you know, pass the name of the actual library to inherit from and all of that. But, you know, the other part of this is this assumes that passing just C flags and CXX flags are going to actually go and, you know, produce the binary, the optimized files that you're looking for. And, you know, not always the case. Sometimes you end up with ones that need extra CXX flags, or you need to go and manually add them in anyway, or they're hard-coded and they need to be substituted out. And you know, going back to the, do you actually want to go and support every single package, becomes a, do you want to go through the entire archive of all of the packages for something that may or may not actually, you know, make a difference on all of the libraries. Oops, that was too far. So, I guess, you know, are there any questions? Any comments?
So how far have you got in implementing this? Is it just something you've been experimenting with or something that's actually working?
I've mostly been experimenting with it. Some of it is, you know, I don't want to actually, want to build everything multiple times. The size increase, that's the part that I thought I had. The size increase on GSL, it went from I think it was 5.5 megabytes to about 18 megabytes by adding in basically the four different copies of all of the libraries. So it really becomes, you know, say for Vorbis or for Ogg or for specific libraries that we know are going to make a difference, it really makes a difference. For other ones, you look at it and say, okay, you know, libxul runner for Firefox, that's 100 megabytes. And it's a long build process. Maybe we won't do that one. Okay.
You said that there is support for PowerPC, Power9, Power9 and Power10. Mm-hmm. And what is this older variant, so Power Microwatt or Power 7? They are all 64-bit PowerPC variants.
They are all PowerPC. They are all the 64-bit variants. From the actual glibc, where is it? From the actual glibc source code, these are the only directories that are currently, I think this was accurate as of 2.38. These are all of the directories that are searched for additional libraries. So I think Geeks right now targets Power 8 as the baseline, so it would be, you know, you would get the benefit.
So a backport would be needed for Power 7 and for Microwatt?
You'd have to get it into glibc to have the... I guess if you compiled the distribution for Power 7, then you would have support for Power 7 there, but in terms of having the special directories, currently there's no support in glibc, although I suppose it could be added.
I might investigate later if I have hardware or buy hardware, because I'm interested in the PowerPC notebook project, and they have much more modern hardware compared to anything Apple use, but it's still older than Power 8.
Have you tried some benchmarks yourself with some of the applications? Because what you showed with Diffoscope, those were mostly SIMD instructions which were optimized. So I think everything which uses those can profit from the knowing that there's like a different kind of vector extension.
Right. I ran a couple of benchmarks. Most of them were inconclusive. The one that I actually noticed the biggest change in was LZ4. I actually compiled one for X32, for the 64-bit x86 64 with 32-bit instructions. I think the claim in general is that it's supposed to be up to 40% faster, and I found that the LZ4 benchmarks were 5% slower. So other than actually being quite surprised by that, a lot of it really seemed to fall into the, is it just hot cache? Is it, is there something else running in the background? Is it actually a big enough change to be worth it?